Well, today's message is about the church. Not that, hopefully that wasn't a surprise. But I got this from, I think Judy sent this to me. And I thought it was really worth reading. Said, this is fantastic. I just love the guy's answer and interpretation for the word Bible. Enjoy it and pass it on. There's three things here. If you're spiritually alive, then you're going to love this. If you're spiritually dead, you won't want to read it. If you're spiritually curious, there's still hope. A churchgoer wrote a letter to the editor of their newspaper and complained that it made no sense to go to church every Sunday. He wrote, I've gone for 30 years now, and in that time I've heard something like 3,000 sermons, but for the life of me, I can't remember a single one of them. I hope it hadn't been my last 5 years here that he said that. I can't remember a single one of them, so I think I'm wasting my time. The preachers and priests are wasting theirs by giving sermons at all. This started a real controversy in the letters to the editor column. Much to the delight of the editor, it went for weeks until someone wrote this clincher. I've been married for 30 years. In that time, my wife has cooked some 32,000 meals. But for the life of me, I cannot recall the entire menu for a single one of those meals. But I do know this. They all nourished me and gave me the strength I needed to do my work. If my wife had not given me these meals, I would be physically dead today. Likewise, if I had not gone to church for nourishment, I would be spiritually dead today. When you're down to nothing, God is up to something. Faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Thank God for your physical and your thank God for our physical and spiritual nourishment. Bible simply means basic instructions before leaving earth. A lot of truth to that. So we're going to talk about the church today. And it was kind of funny when Emily, she said, what's the title for your message? And what I had written down was, why do I go to church, or why should I go to church, or what can I find in church, or what's in it for me? And I said, just put church. Because I don't think we could have gotten all of that in the bulletin. But you might ask, you know, if you're going to talk about the church, why are you talking about it? Because I'm here today. I told you last week, I think, we might be preaching to the choir. But there are some keys here when I present my challenge to you that might help you overcome some things. As you drove to church today, there's probably 2/3 of the people in your neighborhood or are your neighbors that don't go to church anywhere. The guy across the street from me does because he's a Southern Baptist. And the guy next to me does because he's always talking about praising the Lord. Great guy. His name's Onion. Or at least that's what he said. People call me Onion. But he's a great guy. The guy over there doesn't, has no interest in it. The people on the far side where they're, you know, of us have no interest. And so as I was thinking about that, wondering, if you know, what do those people believe? And I was doing some research, and interestingly enough, the people that don't go to church, 2/3 of the people believe in God. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe in heaven. And they say they pray to God. Now, I don't know if it's the same 2/3, but it's interesting that those were the statistics. We see people, well, not today, but we will see people cutting their grass. We'll see people washing their car. I did this message when it was a little bit warmer. Not today. Maybe some of them playing golf sometime when it's warm. Golf courses are full. The soccer fields are full. And so the thought crossed my mind as I was doing it. If they don't go to church, why should I? If they believe in God and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and believe, you know, in heaven and believe it's okay to pray, then what's the difference between them and me? And Debbie capsulated that whole thing when she read Hebrews 11:25. It says, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day of the Lord approaching." That's really what he wants us to do. Someone sent me a note today, this week, and said, "It's hard to get in shape spiritually if you only work out on Sunday." You know, that's a pretty good point when you look at that. Read a story this week. A woman says, "I don't go to church anymore. They're all hypocrites." On one occasion, and more than one occasion, her pastor, whose name was Tim, said he had heard this sort of comment. He'd be the first to agree church is made up of people that are not perfect. It's interesting that we do not sit in a church and call each other hypocrites. At least I don't think we do. Because we know we're not perfect. There are people that want to make an excuse and say that people are hypocrites because they don't want to get up and go to church. They can blame it on that, whatever they want. The story goes on to say, each time the pastor heard those comments, his heart would break, because he knew the incredible value of people being together and worshiping together. He went on to say, long ago he learned how Satan uses people and circumstances to disappoint Christians, to pull them away from the very people that God wants to bring them in contact with, to bless them, to train them, to encourage them. But until we recognize the enemy's schemes, he has them. And I could give you the name of a person I have talked to over and over and over about, you need to get back in church. Well, I'm depressed. Get out of bed. Come be encouraged. I was talking to Rita this morning, and we were talking about something. And, you know, our point here is not to be served. But our point here, and the thing about us, is we are here to serve one another. It's not about the band. They're not here to be served. We acknowledge that we enjoy the music and how good they are. Sit still, Scott. I caught you out of the corner of my eye. But they're here to serve God and to bless us with their talent. I'm not here for this. I'm here because I like to be here. Somebody said to me yesterday, what's that sweatshirt say? I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was something like, you know, some people may think you're crazy to be a pastor, but I think it's something like you're crazy to like it. So we're here to serve, not to be served. People are busy on weekends doing good things, spending time with their kids at soccer games. That's worthwhile. That's a good thing to do. Going on family getaways, and, you know, I don't blame them. People deserve vacations. They deserve time away. They deserve the opportunity to travel. But if you are part of a local church and you are in town, God wants us to be here. And I think that's what he's saying to the church today. And so the reason I say that there are 10 things that I'm going to share with you, and I'll share with them quickly because the Baptists will be getting at the restaurants around noon. But 10 simple things. You've got some notes in your bulletin, and I put those in there this week just to give you some talking points to share with people. So what's behind the why? Why are we talking about this? What's the point of going to church? Well, number one, to hear the preaching of the word. Hebrews 4:12 said that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. The hearing of scripture and the hearing of a message is vital to our Christian growth. It's important that we do that. I know there are people that watch ministers on TV, and if you're sick and you're physically unable to be in church, God understands that, and God accepts that. They may be listening to good preaching. You have to be discerning, I'll tell you that right now, about what you hear. But we are accustomed to getting all of our information when we flip on a switch, turn on a knob, turn on the internet, turn on TV, even though we don't necessarily agree with the news. How many of us watch it? I was part of a... Let me back up for a second. Too many church services today and too many televangelists are all about production. It's all about doing the next best thing. I was sitting in a meeting this week with a couple people, and someone said that they were a part of a church production. And a lot of churches have turned the Sunday service into drama, into a production, into some type of skits and videos, and that's okay. But that's not what the message of the gospel is all about. The message of the gospel is to reach out to people that they may believe in their heart and confess in their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I wonder how many people are being reached by the televangelists. He told us to preach with urgency. The word that penetrates people's hearts and touches their lives and changes them and transforms them. Inspires people to serve Christ. There are people in here. I remember when Allison left, and, you know, and it was a void that we had. Very talented. And then Rita, equally talented, said, I'd like to join, you know, Anna. I don't think it took much coercion. But people are willing to serve. And people are willing to do great things. When called upon or when needed. To hear the preaching of the word. To participate in corporate worship. I'm sure that there's nothing pleases the Lord any more than to hear people praise him. To hear a body of believers sitting on Hamilton Cleves Road singing to him and him receiving those. Nothing replaces the absolute beauty of coming together and to worship and to spend time with each other. We changed the order of service around a little bit, because I preferred to have the special music right before the message. That's just a preference I have, but I think music sets the tone of worship. I think music sets the tone of the service. That's why I don't want it to be a production. We could make a production out of it. You all are that good. But it's about worship. It's about opening our hearts up. It's about allowing God to work through us. John 4:24 said, Jesus said that those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Too often the productions are feeling led. And I've been in those churches. I attended, when I lived in Nashville, I attended a church down there, and you know, I mean, it was Christ Church. It was phenomenal, probably 1,500 people there on a Sunday. A lot of entertainers in Nashville was there. The guy that led the choir's wife, Joy Gardner, sings on with the Gaither Homecoming group. Landy was phenomenal. But it was in essence a production. Nothing wrong with it if your heart and the spirit's in the right place. But I would rather go somewhere where these words ring out. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel God's mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. You know, we worship through the week individually, probably. But it's important that we come together and that we participate in corporate worship. Because iron sharpens iron is the third one. Proverbs says, meeting regularly with other believers is a source of encouragement and strength. When iron rubs against iron, not only does it become sharper, but it'll put off a few sparks. It really does. I know people who have stopped going to church because someone hurt them. Someone said something that offended them. Maybe church didn't measure up to their expectations, whatever their expectations were. Maybe they thought that the church was full of hypocrites. But that's where Satan wants people. Opposed to that. And opposed to the church. To exercise our gift is number four. Everyone in church, everyone that God has called, has a gift. Something that they can give to one another. And only when the body of Christ functions together and everybody's sharing those gifts. And if you don't know what yours is, what yours is, let's sit down and talk about it. Have an assessment that will let you know who you are in Christ and what He wants you to do and what He wants you to be a part of that. Statistics says that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And that's not to guilt people into doing something. What it's saying is, what's my gift? So maybe we can reverse those numbers. What's God called me to do that I can be part of corporate worship and that I can serve one another? Number five, to encourage me. It's actually a thing that says to encourage your pastor. Paul wrote, he said, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And it is right for me to feel this way. All to feel this way about you. All for I hold in my heart. It is encouraging when people come to worship. We'll all be accountable to God when we face Him at the great white throne judgment that we've talked about the last few weeks in heaven. But unfortunately, some have a greater responsibility. And so that's why I talk to that same person often. You'll be less depressed if you seek out the joy and the friendship and the peace that someone offers. Every person I talked to Jack Tremaine at the Ross Police Department one day when I first got here, when they were at the township building, and I was talking to Chief Hauser, and he said, this guy needs to go to church. And Daryl's involved in his church out in Harrison. And I walked back and talked to him. And I said, I'm going to see you in church. He had a big grin on his face. But I believe that. So become a partner in ministry. Bring joy not only to your heart, but to other people's hearts. Number six, to find godly mentors. God's not only called us to lead people and to put our arm around people and walk down the road with them, but he's called people in church that need to be mentored. The Bible talks about godly women mentoring other women. And you can read the story of Ruth. Great illustration of that. It was a lady in class. I was in a seminary class in United Seminary last week. And so the instructor going around the class, and he said, I want to know your name, what district you're on, what church you serve, and something else. And so we're all around the room, 41 of us, and 40 or 41 of us in a class, and we were all sharing this. And then he got into the class talking about transformational leadership. And one lady, she said, I don't know why I'm here. Well, she's a pastor, so that's why she was here. But she said, I got married too young, been divorced twice, had two daughters, one of them had a child out of wedlock. And she said, yet God restored me. That's why we're here. That's why some people need to be mentored and some people need to be led. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he says, no eye has seen nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. When we love him, we're willing to serve in any different capacity. Another reason for going to church, and I give you these because people are going to resist when you talk to them. Teach your kids to love the church. I was one of those kids that I never had my parents take me to church. My grandmother took me. And probably the first time was when I was about that big and went to Bible, to vacation Bible school. It was probably the first time I ever went to church. They were always good about taking us and dropping us off. And my mother probably only went to church about four times in her life. And my dad a couple times when I got married, my brother got married. But what parents have is an obligation to teach our kids to love the church and to appreciate the church. I was thinking about that when we were up here this morning, and when I was asked them what the church meant. And the thought went through my mind with Levi. He has a chance to come to church because Karen and Todd bring him. That teaches kids to love the church. I wrote this down. I thought it's interesting. Notice Jesus didn't say the student will become as the teacher teaches. Rather, he will be like the teacher. Jesus didn't say in the people that he taught that you'll be me, but he said you'll be like me. Which says to me that the example that we give people is far greater than anything else. Be the light in your community. Those people that see you get up on Sunday morning, or they don't see you get up, I'll rephrase that. Hopefully they don't. But see you get in your car, drive down, the street and go to church. There's no greater example that we can set for people than that of being consistent. Something else I read, it said, they all long to be known and loved for who they are. When God's people commit to fiercely loving each other by covering sins with love and readily forgiving each other, our love will be a light that shines brightly in a crooked and perverse generation. The author said, let it begin with you, but I put a slash and I said, let it begin with me. When people come into a building, which, by the way, is not the church. You are the church. But when they come in and they see that and they have that sense that the Spirit, surely the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. What greater place to be than the life that we have by facing the issues that we face on a Monday through Friday? To bear each other's burdens. Galatians 6:2 says, teaches us to bear each other's burdens to fulfill the law of Christ. Life can be hard, right? Brenda got that diagnosis. You get a phone call. All kinds of mishaps can occur, can take place. But when you have a church family, and this is something I think that's important that we communicate to the people in my 60-day challenge, is that when you have a problem and you don't want to talk to mom or dad about it, or you don't want to talk to somebody like that, I know somebody that'll talk to you. I know somebody that'll listen to you. And that makes you a mentor. And that's just exactly what God is wanting us to do as we go back to a previous point. The Bible teaches us to support one another. There's not too many places we can go for prayer other than to people that we trust. We've got intercessory prayer team here. And I know you don't know who's on it, because when I send them out things, I send it out as a Brian Carbon copy. But they're praying for a lot of things, a lot of people. They're praying for the next 10 people. What's that? What's the next 10 people are going to come? And when the next 10 come, then we're going to be praying for the next 10. And I thank those of you that are doing that. Number 10, because God says to. That's really all we really need. That's the only point we really need. I read it earlier. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. We're living in what everybody says is the last day, and it's the last day could be for anybody. It doesn't necessarily have to be Jesus' return. And when I look at this, I think what the writer of Hebrews is saying is, spend as much time in fellowship with one another. Spend as much time in prayer. Spend as much time helping someone. Spend as much time in serving that you can, because you're doing it unto me. God wants us to attend church for our own good. It doesn't do Roger any good for me to come to church. It only does Roger good if Roger comes. And we can all say that about ourselves. It only does us good if we come. I saw this and I thought it was interesting. Someone told me long ago, there's a calm before the storm, I know. And it's been coming for some time. Let's be the church we're called to be. What is that church? What does the church look like to you? As I looked at that and prepared that, and the thought kept going through my mind as you're preaching to the choir. But there's a reason that's the message for today. It's like, Lord, I sometimes just tell me why. Tell me what the reason is. I know what you want me to say. Just tell me why you want me to say it. And I'll tell you, sometimes I know and sometimes I don't. If you haven't put your bold challenge on the back of that piece of paper, I'm going to give you one. And I would encourage you to give it a try. I'm calling it the 60-day challenge. For the next 60 days, I want you to pray for your family. Number one. I want you to discern what God would have you to do about inviting them to church. Now, everybody that knows me knows that I like it here, but this isn't the only church in the world. You're not going to drive from Akron down here every Sunday to church. I know that. But we all have family members that does not go to church. And so someone put on the Pastor Parrish form is that we need to have a family Sunday when we can encourage our families to come. Well, we're not going to do a Sunday. We're going to do family months. Because if we can only do a Sunday, what have we accomplished? Somebody said if you do something seven times, it becomes a habit. I don't know. I have a hard time remembering to do something seven times. But we're not here today by accident. And so let me encourage you for the next 60 days to pray for your family, to discern what God would have you to do to invite them to a church. Sure, I'd love to have them come here. But hey, not everybody believes the way we do. But if people don't get in the habit of getting to worship, they may spend eternity somewhere other than heaven. And that's my concern, and that's what I'm responsible for, is to share that. So it's the 60-day challenge. Pray for your family. Discern what God would have you to do. And the third thing is, just do it. Do whatever He tells you. And I appreciate all of you. And the message today is not to you, but it's to equip you for the next 60 days. Because people are going to say that there's hypocrites in the church. And I'm like Paul. I'm the chief among many. I'm not perfect. But I don't claim to be. I just love doing the best that I can do. That's all he asks. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the church, for what it's called to do, to be part in the worldwide ministry of seeing people find Jesus Christ and find Him as their personal Savior and to find Him as their rescuer through sin, their rescuer from sin, gift that changes our lives, that restores us, resurrects us, cleans us up. So Lord, we want to be the church that we're called to be. And so help us to enjoy our time away and our time off, but not forget to pray for the church here. Help us when we're sick and we can't be here to pray for those that are in attendance. And Lord, we know that there are many things that are going on that are important. But the greatest thing that's important is my relationship with you. And so, Lord, as we go about these next 60 days, it's my prayer that we will personally be strengthened, but those that are our family and our friends will find a desire to be with your people. So, Lord, just bless this time together. Speak to us. Open our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.